Sometimes we're so filled with self-pride, that self-righteous attitude where I believe it's me. God has to depend on me.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message we will hear this evening is the concluding part of last week's message by Pastor Brian Grant, where Pastor Grant took us to the book of 1 Kings and the account of the prophet Elijah, where we found this great man of God in a state of depression so bad that he despaired even of life. This, as Pastor Grant reminded us, was just after he had won a great victory over the worshippers of Baal, when the Lord showed himself in an amazing display of power. Nevertheless, the prophet now found himself locked in hopelessness. But the purpose of Pastor Grant's message is to show how God raised his despairing servant from the ash heap of depression and led him courageously on to further victories. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Kings 19 and listen with us now as Pastor Grant picks up on his fourth point of his message, God's Cure for the Blues. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
So, here's what have we said so far. Number one, admit your experience of the blues. Number two, choose fellowship instead of being a lone ranger. Number three, take time to refresh yourself. And four, acknowledge that you need help. Acknowledge that you need help. Look at verse number 7. The angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched Elijah and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. The journey is too great for you. Folks who are depressed usually need help. You heard what I said? Folks who are depressed usually need help. If you're listening to me and you're trying to be that lone ranger and pretending that you don't need help, listen, sometimes the journey is too great for you. Sometimes you need help. Thank God for therapists like Dr. Korich, who has been trained in the scriptures and knows how to use the scriptures to help that person who is depressed find hope. But I just want you to know that although sometimes we feel that this is not of God, I want you to know that some types of depression are not depressions that a therapist can just simply pick up the scriptures and guide you to a scripture to encourage you. Some types of depression are rooted in the body's chemistry. And it's important that I say that, because some of us may have been raised in situations where we have not come to agree with that this is a fact. But the reality is, in this broken world, sometimes with a person's chemistry in their body, and sometimes for that person to overcome the depression, they need the help of a physician trained in the area of psychiatry. And we thank God for people like Dr. Tasha Jordan. Praise God. We have help right here at GCA. Amen? Get help. You know, there's a phrase that we sometimes use. Here's a phrase. God will never give you more than you can handle. You ever heard that phrase? God will never give you more than you can handle. The problem is sometimes we misunderstand that phrase. Because it says, God won't give me more than I can handle. Therefore, some people interpret that to mean, I don't need nobody's help because I can handle it by myself. God won't give me more than I can handle. So if he won't give me more than I can handle, I don't need nobody's help. I can do it. By the way, that phrase ain't in the Bible. Just in case you didn't know. That is not a Bible phrase. You know, the Bible does say that when we come in trials and etc., he's going to provide a way of escape that we might bear it. That scripture is letting us know. God is never going to allow you into a situation that the only solution is for you to sin. But God is not telling you, you don't need anybody's help. On the contrary, sometimes God is going to put you in a situation to help you realize you need help. To help you realize, I need God. I can't do this one without you. And sometimes I can't do this without my brother and sister in Jesus. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us, he tells us about a situation, his struggle with the blues, and he tells us his situation got so bad, he thought he wouldn't come out alive. But Paul realized he couldn't handle it on his own. Let me put that verse of scripture, or those verses, on the screen for you in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. So if you're at home, you can read that on your own. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Here's what Paul says. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the problems we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Did you see that? He was overwhelmed beyond his ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. Amen? Folks, it's time to stop relying on ourselves. It's time to stop thinking, I don't need anybody. I can do it by myself. He said it was time to stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely on only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And in the very next verse, he talks to the people and he says to them, and for you who also have been praying for us and have been helping us in this regard, you can read that other verse. My friend, if you're so stressed, you're feeling hopeless, there is hope in God. Put this in your notes. Put this in your notes. God will carry you through impossible situations if you rely on him instead of yourself. Amen? God will carry you through impossible situations if you rely on him instead of yourself. That leads me to my fifth point. Fifth and final point has some sub-points, but here we go. This is perhaps the most important. Draw close to God and let him restore your soul. Amen? Draw close to God. Look at verse number 8. So Elijah arose and ate and drank, and he went into the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah was now at Mount Horeb, which is also called Mount Sinai. This was a very special place to draw close to God, because if some of you remember, it was where Moses had received the Ten Commandments from God. It was on Horeb, Mount Sinai, that Moses had asked God to show him his glory. And now Elijah is on Mount Horeb. He's on this mountain of God, the most important mountain in Jewish history. He is there alone with God. You know, I've shared how important fellowship is and how important it is to get help from others. But nothing will have as much impact as when you spend time just you and God alone. Amen? For when we spend time with God, he has an amazing way to deal with the issues that stress us. My friend, I want to encourage you as you go through life's battles, as you go through the blues and you go through depression, you make sure to draw close to God. Listen. And when you draw close to God, put this in the notes, pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart to him. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. Elijah went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Can I put what Elijah said into my own words? Elijah is really saying, God, I've served you with my whole heart for my entire life, and God, thank you that for helping me win the battle on Mount Carmel. But God, although it seems like we won the battle on Mount Carmel, God, it seems like we're going to lose the war. Because God, Jezebel is after me. She's about to kill me. And God, I'm the only servant you got. So when she kills me, it's lights out. God, don't you realize what's going on? I am it. I believe part of Elijah's depression came from the fact he was carrying this burden of believing he was the only one. You know, there are Christians who sometimes think, I'm the only one that's living right. I'm the only one that's doing the things the way God wants me to do it. Sometimes we're so filled with self-pride, that self-righteous attitude where I believe it's me. God has to depend on me. Oh, you better be careful in any ministry you're in, you know, because sometimes folks don't want anybody to share in the ministry because nobody else can do it right. You better believe a whole lot of other people can do it right. Just be privileged and thank God that you have the privilege to minister. Amen? Amen. But God's got 70,000 more people. 7,000 more he got waiting. But do what you can. Serve faithfully. It's a privilege to serve faithfully. But don't take that upon yourself, believing it's me. Listen, Elijah was dead wrong, because we'll soon see that God is saying, I got 7,000 more prophets. And as far as this business about Jezebel killing you, he didn't spell it out in the passage. But really what God was telling him towards the end of the chapter, he said, listen, I got the Ahab's dynasty. I got a plan for them. These people you're going to appoint, they're going to bring an end to Ahab's dynasty, because I got this all figured out. My timetable is already in motion. Listen, boy, don't tell me how to do stuff. Well, actually, he didn't quite say that. In fact, I want to say this. I better make it clear that God wouldn't have said that. Because here's one of the things I want you to realize in this. God really didn't get mad. So he didn't upbraid him, because God really didn't get mad when Ahab poured his heart out to him. That's a very important point. God did not get mad when Ahab poured his heart out to him. Even though Ahab was dead wrong. And probably there's something we can learn from that. It's possible that, is it possible that sometimes Christians have issues with God? Do you know we sometimes have issues with God? You say, no, yes, that we do. Sometimes we're disappointed God didn't do something we thought he should have done. God, I was expecting you to do so and so. I was expecting you to bless me in this way. And God, you didn't bless me in this way. God, I was expecting you to help me. I was expecting you to take care of business. And God, you didn't take... You say, can I really talk to God like that? Well, Psalm 73, man, the psalmist there tells God some serious stuff. He said, God, what's going on here? You're blessing all them ungodly people. What about me? All the ungodly, they can do whatever they want to do. And look at me. I got to live righteous. I got to keep myself pure. But all the ungodly, they're doing whatever they want to do. And it seems like you ain't doing nothing. God, this is just not right.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Now, don't go in his face and get too cranky. Have some respect, because he's God. But my friend, here's the point I want you to make. As we draw close to God, sometimes the reason for depression is we have an issue with God. Sometimes the reason we're in the blues is because we're just not happy that the way God has orchestrated things in our lives. And sometimes we need to tell him. But by the way, after you have told him, put this down in your notes. Listen to his still small voice. No, don't come telling God if you don't intend to hear anything. Am I right? You see, the psalmist, he said what he had to say, but his ear was open to God's response. And when he got God's response, before you end Psalm 73, the psalmist has totally changed his mind. His perspective has changed. His depression and his blues are gone. And he is rejoicing because he realizes that God is still on the throne and God still has a plan. My friend, sometimes, listen, I don't know what is your issue, but if you got an issue with God, draw near to him. Take time to draw near to him. Elijah drew near. God orchestrated it, and he was right there on the mountain of God. And as he drew near to God, and God asks him, he tells God his heart. Amen. And God has an answer. Amen? Amen. Verse number 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain. It's God talking now before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him. Elijah, what are you doing here? God caused a great wind to pass by the cave, followed by a great earthquake and a fire. But as spectacular as these things were, God was not in that. But after all the spectacular stuff, God appeared how? In a still, small voice. I believe Elijah had gotten so accustomed to seeing God do the spectacular that he might have been disappointed that God did not do the spectacular and solve his Jezebel problem. Listen, God can do the spectacular. But do you know, God, listen to me good. God usually speaks through a still small voice. It's the still small voice of his word. And if you really want to hear God's voice as it comes to your restoration, we must get serious about God's word. We've got to invest. Are you listening to me this morning? You've got to invest more time in God's word because God speaks. You see, sometimes we want to go to, if we hear that there's a healing service or a miracle service, we rush out. We want to see something spectacular. That is, most of that is hocus pocus anyhow. But my friend, God can do the miraculous. And we have seen God do the miraculous. But God usually speaks through the still small voice of his word. Seriously now, young person, older person, if you really want to hear from God, it's okay for you to tell him how you feel, but you better start picking up this Bible and start investing time in it. Listen. If you don't save money when you get a job, you got a job and you ain't saving money. When you broke, there ain't no point. Listen, when you lose your job, if you didn't put in when you got the job, there is no point going to the bank and joining the line for the teller. Because if you didn't put anything in the good times, there ain't nothing there in the bad times. And part of the challenge, the trouble sometimes we have as Christians is that we're not investing in the good times. When the times are good and all is well, we're not spending time privately with God. We don't spend time in our prayer closets. We don't have time to read God's word. We have invested nothing. There is absolutely nothing in our spiritual bank account to draw from. And when trouble comes, there is nothing to withdraw. And I want to encourage you, my friend, even now, while things might be going good, you better get more serious about investing and saving and making deposits in your bank account. Amen? Amen. Listen, I draw close to God. I pour out my heart to him. I listen to his small voice. And finally, I accept his recommissioning. I accept his recommissioning. 1 Kings 19, verse 15 to 18. And don't worry, I'm winding down. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. And by the way, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah, God has answered Elijah's. He has poured out his heart about he's the only one. He's poured out his heart about how Ahab and Jezebel seem like they're going to get a free ride. And God is saying, nay, I got 7,000. And I've taken care. Listen, these people, they're going to take care of Ahab and Jezebel. They're going to take care of everything. I have it all covered. I got my plan. But don't miss verse number 19. Because this is the clincher here. So Ahab departed and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing 12 yoke of oxen, and he was the 12th. Then Elijah passed by and threw his mantle on him. God was not finished with Elijah. He made him to know he wasn't alone, and he gave him a brand new mission. And Elijah got up and departed. Elijah got up from wallowing in depression and from asking God to kill him. And Elijah got up, recommissioned, and he moved forward. God had restored him. And the God who restored him wants to restore you this morning. You know, Tommy Dorsey was a famous black jazz musician. In 1926, Tommy Dorsey decided that he would devote himself exclusively to spiritual music. And of course, the Great Depression came shortly after, and Dorsey had a very, very tough time trying to live writing Christian music and playing Christian music only, particularly, of course, as a man of color in a tough time. But despite all the hardness that Dorsey experienced because of the Depression, nothing could compare to what the news he got. One night he was playing in St. Louis when he got the news that his wife, who was almost about ready to deliver their first baby, the wife had died very suddenly. They were able to deliver the baby alive, but a few days later, the baby also died. Tommy Dorsey fell into such deep depression. He eventually suffered several nervous breakdowns. He was suicidal. But in the darkness, in his dark, deep depression, he decided to draw near to God. And God restored him. And God inspired him to write the words of a song. In that dark depression, as he's emerging from that deep depression, Thomas Dorsey wrote these words, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm what? I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Thomas Andrew Dorsey made a decision to draw close to God. And God restored him. God wants to restore you to this morning. Whether you're here in our audience or you're listening on the YouTube, God wants to restore you. And I'm going to ask you this morning, my friend, draw close to God. That's the most essential part. There are so many other things we talked about. But at the end of the day, the most essential part, draw close to God and let him restore you. And if you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, you really can't draw close to God until you have come to Jesus. Perhaps this morning is your morning to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would certainly be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.